Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Here's the podcast from Middays with Susie Larson. Enjoy the conversation. It's only just a matter of. Welcome to Middays. I'm Susie Larson. So honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heighten your awareness of His very real presence in your life. My guest today says this: well, we all know about the growth that comes from healthy nutrition, exercise regimen, and a positive attitude, being active, and even having a deep spiritual life. But few people know about the potential of relating to others in ways that actually transform us, give us energy, and help us succeed. That's what we're talking about today. Our good friend Dr. John Townsend joins us again on the show to revisit his book, People Fuel, Fill Your Tank for Life, Love, and Leadership. We've got four copies, once again, thanks to his great publisher. You can text and email. You can get those going right now if you want to enter the drawing. This is a hardcover book. It's been number one on Amazon. So much in this about helping you relate to different people in your life and really taking a look at and taking inventory of your relationships and the fruit that comes out of them. 877-933-2484 is the text number, or you can email middays@myfaithradio.com. We'll get Dr. Townsend on just a second. A quick announcement. You heard us advertising, a couple months ago about our live event with Dr. Troy, and then you didn't hear about it anymore because it sold out right away. Well, we've got a waiting list on now, and it takes place next Thursday. So if you know that you can't go but you have a ticket, I'm asking you, would you connect with the ticket office as soon as you're able, as soon as possible, because there's others who know that they can go and really want to attend, and we do have limited seating. It would mean the world to us if you'd surrender your ticket if you're not planning on going. Thanks so much for that. All right, let me tell you about my guest. We'll get him on the show. Dr. John Townsend is a nationally known leadership consultant, psychologist, and a New York Times bestselling author. Listen to this, selling over 10 million books. Cannot even fathom that. He's the founder of the Townsend Institute for Leadership and Counseling. He and his wife, Barbie, live in Newport Beach, California. They have two adult sons. Always honored to get to talk with you, Dr. Townsend. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Susie. Glad to be here.
Looking forward to this conversation. So we love to start every day, as you know, talking scripture. Wondering if you have a verse you've been thinking about these days you can share with us.
One of my favorite verses has to do with the book of Isaiah, and it talks about a vision for what happens when you really help others. In chapter 10, Susie, it says, "Feed the hungry and help those in trouble, and then your light will shine out from the darkness, and the darkness around you will be bright as noon."
Talk about that.
Well, you know, we all know that we're supposed to grow in Christ and be spiritually more mature and all that sort of thing. And part of that is helping people spiritually, emotionally, relationally. Sometimes it's food, sometimes it's shelter, sometimes it's digging a well. And what God says is, if you want to be a person that does that, I'm going to surround you with light. Just a beautiful, beautiful promise.
Boy, is it ever. Now, you've been working in the business of relationships and leadership for many years, so this, I don't mean this to sound like too obvious of a question, probably can phrase it the right way. When did it occur to you, like on a deeper level, that our relationships have very much to do with whether we stay stuck, move forward, lose energy, gain energy? I mean, you know what I'm saying? Enough where you wrote this book, People Fuel.
Well, gosh, that's kind of been where the career was for so many years when I was studying. I had two studies going on, Susie. One was the Bible. You know, what does the Bible say about especially all the one another's in the Bible? Love one another, accept one another, comfort one another. And I was studying clinical psychology at the same time. You know, what do all the great theorists have to say whose words might match those of the Scripture? Because Scripture comes first and research, it comes second. It's good stuff, but you always got to put it through the Bible. And then I started studying neuroscience, which is the science of the brain, and everything kind of came together because I love the science comes out of neuroscience because every robust study says the Bible's got it right. Everything we've learned about relationships and perseverance and courage and vulnerability and struggle and success, the Bible's already said it. So when that came out, I've been studying that for about 15 years. That began to really inform me to what helps to very successful people to be more successful and what also heals brokenness. You know, we've got things that are broken in us in our relationships, but we've also got those great potentials. It's sort of like the how do we restore the broken parts and how do we make the good great? And that's where the book came from.
Oh, so good. Well, when I think of relationships, I can picture two unhealthy extremes. One is the savior complex, where you stick with a dysfunctional situation long past the point of usefulness, or when you use people as a means to an end, because that's all they are to you, is you want to get great, you want to go big and go or go home. And so you're just simply using people. So speak to those two extremes, because obviously this is not what we're talking about, but we lose our way, I would say, in both of those extremes.
Well, the way to understand it is that God made relationships to be both functional and personal. If you look at it that way, it makes sense. Functional, personal. If my neighbor needs a cup of sugar to make a cake, that's a function. I want to lend him if I want to borrow his car or whatever, that's all functional. Can you lend me $10? Can you give me a ride? That's really transactional. We're supposed to do that. But it's much, much more than that when you go to the personal. That has to do with the needs we have for each other. In the book, I talk about the fact that we have bionutrients. You know, we all are trying to be healthy these days. I mean, you're a health expert. You know that if we don't have enough calcium, we get osteoporosis. You know that if we don't have enough iron, we get anemia. And so we have these bionutrients that would deliver our system and make it healthy. Well, in the book, what I talk about is I coined the term relational nutrients, and those are the things that we give each other that keep our brains healthy, and they don't come from a tablet or a pill. They also come from a conversation or a text or a phone call or an email or a lunch with somebody, and we deliver those nutrients from my brain to yours and your brain to mine. Now, those aren't functional needs. Those aren't lend me $10. Those are, you need encouragement right now, or I need wisdom right now. And there are 22 nutrients in 4 categories. And when you look at it that way, all of a sudden people start going, you know, it's okay to need people. You know, we feel so guilty about needing others as Christians. It's okay to need God. It's okay to need the Spirit. It's okay to need the Word, because the Bible says you need the God and you need the Spirit and the Word. But there are hundreds of Bible passages that say it's not just the vertical need for God. That's the vertical aspect he designed. God also designed a horizontal aspect, which is deeply, deeply personal.
You know, when you do a blood panel on, let's say someone did lab work on you and they did it on me, we would obviously need different supplements and different help to plug different holes based on whatever our deficits are. You know, I would imagine it's exactly the same with us based on our history, our instinct, our bent regarding those nutrients. So speak to some of those nutrients, and maybe are there common nutrients that we all need, or does it really just vary based on who we are?
Sometimes it's just what day it is.
Yeah.
You know, I've got them designed into 4 quadrants to make it really easy for people to understand. There's just these 4 quadrants. The first one, we need nutrients of being present with each other. I need sometimes someone to be with me, to be emotionally with me, just to listen. I don't need 3 steps of advice now. I know what I'm going to got to do, and I just need to know you're with me. You know, when you look in the book of Job in chapter 2, the only good thing his 3 friends did is it said they sat with him 7 days and 7 nights and did not speak a word to him, for they saw his grief was very great. Sometimes when we're in turmoil or overwhelmed, we just need somebody to say, hey, I get it. I'm with you. And that's like acceptance and validation. It just doesn't take a lot of words, but it's a very powerful set of nutrients.
It does take a certain kind of savvy, I would say, to discern that, because not everybody does. You told a story of a woman, young woman, who I think she'd lost her boyfriend, her job, and then she started to question her faith. And her mom kept saying what sounded really wonderful: you're strong, you're smart, I believe in you, you're going to get through this. And it was the worst thing she could do, where her dad was somebody who was entering into her suffering. And you were saying, you're kind of starting down the line a little bit, you need to back up and meet her where she's at. Say a little bit about that exchange and why this mom, even though she meant well, was offering encouragement, was missing the point completely.
Yeah, her daughter was a senior in college and freaked out because she was a communication major with no job prospects. Also, her boyfriend of a long time had broken up, and she was so sad. And also, she was questioning her faith because she came from a very, very large university, and there were lots of faith issues going around. She wasn't sure she believed in God. And so she came to me, and I said, how can I help you? I'd known her since she was born. And she said, well, Mom and I aren't communicating. I talk to Dad all the time, but Mom says, listen, honey, you're a positive person, and you're smart, and you're resilient. You'll be fine. You're positive and smart and feel better. She didn't give her presence. She gave her like advice and encouragement, which is not what she needed right now. She needed somebody in the well of pain with her, in the well of challenge, in the well of being overwhelmed. And So I had to tell her, your advice and encouragement are great. It's just the wrong time for it. What your husband does is he jumps in the well and picks up your daughter and he says, I've got you, because it's scary and dark and overwhelming. I'm not going to leave you, and we're going to come out of this together. And that's why she goes to him instead of you. I said, the advice is great, but you've got to earn the right to give advice by being in the well first. Being presence is the ticket for somebody listening to your advice. Have you ever gotten advice from somebody that wasn't listening to you? It's just useless.
Right, right. And even the idea of, you know, you'll be fine. She was saying all these affirmations, you'll be fine. There's something about when you're in the well and you are hurting and you need presence and someone not to fix you, just to be with you. You'll be fine feels like I'm keeping you at an arm's distance. I don't really want to enter in. I got to tie this up in a nice bow. And it's, that can be really painful, even if it's meant sincerely, right?
Unfortunately, you're right about that. It is often meant sincerely, but it conveys to the person, you're messy, and so I'm just going to like give you, I'm going to kind of dismiss it and say, give you a pat in the back and shove you out the door. And people go, you don't want to go where I'm going here, do you? And we deeply need to be listened to. When you read in the New Testament, when the Bible says, accept one another as Christ and Christ accepted us in Romans, the word accept means to take into your breast. I'm taking your messiness to my breast. I'm taking your hurts, your confusion. You don't have all the answers, and I'm taking that with me. I'm putting my arms around it. That's very different than, hey, you'll be okay, sailor.
Wow, so good. Talking to Dr. John Townsend today, his book, People Fuel, Fill Your Tank for Life, Love, and Leadership. We've got 4 copies of this hardcover book. Text or email to get in the drawing. If you got questions, comments, include those as well. Here's the number, 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. When you text me, that's like you're speaking my love language. I always love to hear from you. Here's the email, middays@myfaithradio.com. When we come back, I want to talk a bit about our capacity to solve relational problems. Sometimes it seems some have just an instinct about how to navigate that, and others maybe not so much. We'll talk about that with Dr. John Townsend in a moment.
Every day is just another struggle, and every choice is an act of war. Gotta pray, gotta press on to the prize worth fighting for.
Thanks so much for tuning in to Middays. I'm Susie Larson, talking to Dr. John Townsend about his book, People Fuel, Fill Your Tank for Life, Love, and Leadership. You know, how we approach relationships takes some spiritual maturity. It takes some skill. There are things we can just learn to be better at relationships. To me, this book is kind of a combination of both, just leading you to a place of better maturity and to understand the importance of your relationships, how you relate to others, how they relate to you. 877-933-2484. We've got 4 copies to give away, or middays@myfaithradio.com. And Dr. Townsend, you address the capacity to solve relational problems. It seems like some have more instinct than others. Is that because they have less trauma in their background, or just kind of a capacity to understand how to enter into these kinds of things?
Certainly can be the case. What you find, though, is there are just gifts. God gives gifts. Some people have the gift of being present, and some people have the gift of conveying the good and being truly, deeply encouraging and hopeful and all that. Some people have the gift of wisdom, and they're kind of a good Yoda figure, and they can, you know, go into the, okay, here's why your marriage is doing this. This is why your child's doing this. This is why your business is doing this. Some people have the gift of great advice. Hey, take these 3 steps. Go to this conference. So there's giftedness. But the point I'm making in the book is, everybody is responsible to do all 4. You can be gifted at one, but to say, well, you know, some people are empathetic, so I don't have that gift. So, you know, my wife has it, so I'll just kind of be a jerk. You can't do that. You got to say, I've got to work on being loving and listening, even though I'm not gifted. I use the word competent, Susie. You have to be competent in all these things, in being there and giving great encouragement and giving wisdom and also in giving advice. But you've got to do it in a way that shows the gift. But we can't say, I can just blow off the rest. That's how the body of Christ works. Be competent if you're not gifted. We can all do that.
Indeed. You said, when you care about someone, you want to be able to disagree, argue in healthy ways, solve problems, make decisions. And this is the point, get back to love and connection. When that doesn't happen, you feel disconnected, alone, frustrated, and sad. And it reminds me of something my friend said about 20 years ago. She said, I don't ever get too excited about new relationships till we have our first conflict, because that's what I see when I see what we're made of in the relationship. And I think so often, Dr. Townsend, you hit that first bump and people quit. You know, it's too close to home and they ditch. Talk about this, the need and the skill for working through some of this to resolve these things so that you can go to a deeper place of intimacy.
Absolutely. What I find is that the best relationships, as you said, are those who are like what the Bible says. They're full of grace and they're full of truth, like it says in John 1 about the nature of Jesus. They're full of grace and truth. And so we get really wounded when we're around people that only truth us, and we go, man, I feel like I just got run over by a truck. It's truth, 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 and you're doing this wrong. You're doing that. We feel judged and criticized, and that's not good. But if it's all grace, then what happens is we're a bunch of happy people singing Kumbaya, but we're not growing. I mean, you're just dancing around the grace campfire. The Bible says we need both. So what I found is, A, you need to be around people who have both, who are kind and loving, but can also say, you know, I'm not sure I agree with that. Can we talk about that? There's a business term we use all the time in my leadership when I work with, you know, corporations and CEOs and senior pastors. It's push back. I love what your idea is. Do you mind if I push back? Now, that's a little truth there, right? Now, if somebody goes, no, I don't want you to push back, they probably need medication, because, you know, you need people to push back. But good friends and good coffees and good times at Starbucks and good meetings, when somebody says, can I push back on the idea? Really, people go, well, sure, I want to hear about it. Now you've got a great friend.
Well, you know, I feel like amen. And it seems like it takes a certain amount of maturity and health to get there. I love some of the examples in the book of how you're doing a little bit of pushback and you're not seeing a lot of change until you uncover a lie buried in their soil. Like, remembering one young man who was a leader. He wasn't really killing it as a leader, but he was doing well in sales because he kept defaulting to where he was strong. And he saw it, and he had the best of intentions, but never really made traction until you helped him uncover there was insecurity in his soil. And once he kind of went after that lie and you equipped him, he was able to go into this territory that he had avoided. I mean, how often is that the case, where there's something buried in the soil that we're not aware of?
It's so much. You know, Proverbs chapter 20, verse 5 is one of my favorite passages on growth. It says, a person's heart are deep waters. They're deep waters. But it says, a person of understanding draws them out. We have stuff inside us, old hurts, old brokenness, old things that happened that made us feel rejected. Sometimes we repress them, and those deep waters are inaccessible, and we kind of wonder, why am I getting anxious, or why is this person triggering me, or why do I feel bad all of a sudden? And we can say, well, we try to do it by ourselves, Susie. It was like, I need to think better. I need to have a better attitude. Those are all important. But the purpose of the book is to say, we need other people to dig into us too and say, let me understand, why is it every time that you have a challenge at work that you feel so defeated, when it's just like a little thing? You just go into a bad place, you judge yourself, you beat yourself up. There's probably something down there. We found, as you know, in the story in the book, we found in this young man's case, he had a very, very, very critical father who always moved the goalpost and said, not enough, not enough, not enough. And the young man could not take failure. But it wouldn't have happened if he hadn't had a team in my leadership program. He was one of our team members to come in and dig inside him and find out where it was. So you've got to find the people, and that's in that third quadrant, those people who really get convey wisdom and reality. You've got to find people who can dig inside and ask the important question. And the important question is, why? Why do you feel that way? What's going on right now? Why'd that happen? And you keep asking why enough, and good things happen.
That's amazing. And here in this guy's situation, you sent into some leadership training. He faced down his fears, addressed the lie, and then he stepped in. And yet I wonder how often, because we're so threatened by self-inventory, that we stay stuck. I mean, you've coached and consulted countless people over the years. I've done some mentoring and coaching as well. And it's interesting when I see people that want to change but never do. I mean, have you identified a common denominator in those who, you know, you give good advice? They may even agree with you. Yeah, you've nailed it, but nothing ever happens. Is there any other factor involved other than a lie buried in the soil?
Yeah, there are several. The research says it's just not a kind of a one-trick pony, because everybody's studying this. How do you get people with potential to heal their problems and to be high-performing people? One of those is self-sufficiency. I don't need other people. I just need to read my Bible, and I need to work hard and be a nice person. but I don't need other people. I don't want to unpack my stuff to other people. The Bible and neurology say you'll always fail. So self-sufficiency is a problem. Second is rejection in our past. When somebody condemned a part of us, didn't accept a part of us, shamed us in some way, we generalize that to other people and we say, well, gosh, the whole world must be like that. So I'll just kind of keep it all buttoned down. The third one is shame. Shame is a huge thing to stop us from growing because it says, I'm not worth anything, and if I try something, it's going to go bad. So shame just gets us stuck. And the fourth one is a lack of resource. If I don't have the information, I mean, it's conversation, but it's also you got to read up on what's going on. If it's anxiety or if it's a self-image or if it's the wrong job or the marriage is struggling, there's tons of information and research out there, including the Bible. So you got to have the resource out there. Those are the things that if you change those around, I've found that the sky is really the limit, Susie.
Wow. We've got a couple minutes before our hard break at the bottom, just to give you a heads up. But I'm thinking of how often, and I've heard it 1,000 times, when someone's been burned enough by other people, and in the church, you know, especially, they do go it alone. They've got the Lone Ranger. I don't need people. I'm going to, you know, and they'll say it, they'll phrase it. I don't really care what people think, but they care so much that they build a wall around themselves. And what you're saying in People Fuel is we will never reach our potential doing the Lone Ranger, doing the isolating thing. We might be self-protecting, but we're also self-limiting, aren't we?
That's it. God meant us to have 16 cylinders. We're supposed to be Lamborghinis for him. But if you're self-sufficient, you'll probably be on 9. And, you know, the world looks at you and goes, gosh, you got a good marriage. Your kids are fine. You got a good job. And, you know, when you put your head on the pillow at night, I've got 7 cylinders I'm not bringing out because I'm scared and I don't want to open up. So get those 7 cylinders going. Be everything God said.
You, again, I'm looking at my clock here, but I think we're doing well. We've got about 1.5 minutes here. You touched on this at the beginning of the show, but you really, when you were consulting people, you were telling them to look at their need, and they felt like they'd already told you what they needed, but you were trying to get to something deeper. And we're so afraid. You're always doing that. You're poking people. But anyway.
It's kind of a poking thing.
Yeah. So say a word if you would.
Well, yeah, it was a leadership retreat I was doing, and I was saying, okay, you know, you want to have a great organization. You want to, you know, you've got this vision that God gave you and a great organization. What do you need? And so we all, you know, and I just wrote on the whiteboard, well, I need, you know, a strategy. Great. You know, I need great people. Great. I need resource and money, and I need, you know, great execution. And I said, you're missing something. And they said, what else? And this is where, as you said, I poked them. I wrote on the board, you also need to need. And they went, why are we paying you? This doesn't make any sense. I said, well, hold on. I said, you need all those other things, but you also need to need people in your life and not in that functional, hey, I'm glad you're good at IT. I'm glad you're good at marketing. I'm glad you're good at money. That's the functional part. We need that. But you need to need each other personally. You need each other's encouragement. You need each other to know you believe in each other. You need to trust each other. You need to care about each other. And they went, oh, that sounds really needy. I said, yeah, it is. High-performing people have to be pretty needy sometimes. And when I finally get a CEO to call somebody in his life and say, hey, can I unpack with you for 10 minutes? I'm just kind of a mess right now. Things are bad. They always come back to me. They say, oh, my gosh, I thought the person would say, hey, you're supposed to be Miss CEO, Mr. CEO, and have it together. They never say that. They say, you're calling me. I feel honored. I feel honored to help you.
So good. More with Dr. John Townsend in just a moment. Let that song play out. Thanks for tuning in to Middays. I'm Susie Larson talking to our friend Dr. John Townsend about his book, People Fuel, Fill Your Tank for Life, Love, and Leadership. And Dr. Townsend, I've mentored quite a few young women over the years. And remember one said something that surprised me. She said, you know, she said, your transparency with me, she said, surprises me because my last mentor from years ago, it was always a one-way conversation. And I actually felt talked down upon where I'll admit to her, you know, I felt so afraid this week or was feeling some anxiety around this task or whatever. And it surprised me. And I thought during one of your consulting sessions, you asked some leaders, why are most of you providing that which you're not receiving? And I think oftentimes, especially if you're a leader, you'll get in a position of feeling like you're the one that needs to have the answers, but you become a locked vault and that you're shutting yourself off and other people off as well, aren't you?
We really are. You know, an interesting thing about that, Susie, is that we all think that the leader needs to be bulletproof, like Wonder Woman or Superman, and that's what people need us to be. And the research says it's totally the opposite, that there's the bulletproof leader and then there's the vulnerable leader, like you were transparent. And people are so much more loyal to the vulnerable leader. They'd walk over hot coals. And you think, well, that's just counterintuitive. Don't you want to be following Superman or Wonder Woman? Here's the issue. It has to do with a principle of psychology called identification. And identification means I know you're like me and I feel closer to you. So when you see Wonder Woman or Superman, you go, you know, they're from another planet. I'm not even like them and they're perfect. And that, you know, I got feet of clay, right? Then you get around the vulnerable one, like you said, who says, I feel stressed. I'm kind of not myself right now. I don't feel good about something I did. Immediately in your brain, you go, you're like me. That's how I feel. I struggle in my marriage and my parenting and my job. You're like me, and I want to be closer to you. And it's so cool because it's just like what it says in Hebrews 4, where it says that Jesus was in every way, in every aspect like us except for without sin. The reason we feel close to Jesus is because of the principle of identification. The reason we feel close to vulnerable leaders is the same principle.
And talk about the process of, I think we talked a bit about this last time, about finding this team of people with whom you can be raw and real because they're going to hold your stuff in high regard with high integrity, but also going to be truth tellers in your life. I mean, you can't do that with 12, 15, or 20 people, I wouldn't think, but you've got we all should have a handful of people that have the right to speak truth and grace and all that into you and vice versa.
Yep. I call it the life team in the book, and it's 3 to 10 people. And they don't have to be all in the same place. Some of my life team don't even know each other because I've got these people around the country that are deeply connected to me and me to them. And if you get them in a group, if you live in Toledo, well, that's great. If you can't, that's great too. But the concept of life team is I want to be the best possible me. So the way I look at it is I want to be fully functional. I want to do everything, whatever my mission is on the world, I want to be fully functional. Well, I can't be fully functional unless I'm fully loved. So people have got to fill my tank with love, and I have to fill their tank with love, and that's how we become fully functional. But here's the rub. I can't be fully loved unless I'm fully known. If I just show you half of me, you're going to just love half of me. That means I'm now half known, half loved, half functional. I can't do that. So I've got to have 3 to 10 people that would accept me totally, that know all the bad stuff, but it's at the same time, they know me well enough to lovingly kick my butt when they see me, you know, going the wrong way, and they're also vulnerable with their issues. You can change the world with a little team like that of 3 to 10 people. I talk about specifically how to create that in the book.
Say a bit more about that. I mean, is it oftentimes come from old friendships because it's tried and tested and true, or is it more about chemistry where you just know that there's a synergy? Talk about that.
Well, I got really pretty strategic on it. I've done this to myself because I always like to eat my own cooking when I write a book. You're the same way I am. You got to do that. So you go to Microsoft Outlook and you go to your contacts. Everybody's got a bunch of contacts. I don't know, 700, 1,000, how many of there are. And you give yourself like an hour and sit down and just go through those names. And you'll go, gosh, I haven't seen them in a while. There's good synergy there. I love being with them. I haven't seen them for a year. Oh, there's a good person. There's a good person. Oh, that person's still in federal prison. Maybe not a good idea or whatever.
I'll postpone that one.
Right. I'll wait. And then you finish. You got maybe 20 people there that are just nice and they have great faith and they can listen and they're interesting and they're motivated. And you call the one at the top of the list and you say, hey, I haven't seen you for a while. Let's grab lunch. And you have 3 lunches with them. And in lunch number one, what you do is you take a small, vulnerable step. You stick your toe in the vulnerability water. You just say something like, you know, one of our kids, she's starting to act out at 13. It's kind of a problem, and we're just kind of discouraged here. Or I'm not crazy about how my job's going, or something that's not a huge deal, but it's vulnerable, right? You're saying you're not perfect. And the person will have 1 of 3 responses, Susie, that will tell you if they're going to be in the life team or not. Response number one is they'll go, the weather here is amazing, isn't it? All right. Susie, what are they telling you?
Not on your life team.
Not on my life. Nice person, but on not on the A team. Sorry, they just can't go there. Then the second person will go, you having problems in your job? Yeah, I am. Okay, first thing, I want you to read this book. Now, also, there's three Bible verses I want you to memorize. Are you getting up in the morning and have your quiet times? Are you sure you're working out enough? How's your attitude? Now, they're nice people, but they turn into what I call the advice monster. As soon as you tell them you got a problem, they've got to solve it. They get all anxious because it's hard for them to just sit there with you. Sorry, I don't need the advice monster right now. So, not on the A-team. The third one is the winner. The third is when they put their fork down and they physically sometimes lean forward to you and look you in the eyes and say, I had no idea you're struggling in your job, or your daughter's having problems. That sounds awful. Tell me more about it. How's that feel? It sounds overwhelming. What can I do? Can I pray for it? Whatever. They're moving toward your negative. They're staying in your well. They're in your well of pain, your well of challenge. And what they're telling you is, I want to know all of you. I want to know your deep waters. That person is a candidate for the life team.
Wow. So you've got, you're saying 10 people, 8, 10 people. How do you just in an organic way connect with them in your everyday life, Dr. Townsend?
Well, I believe you have to have the structure to most of these because everybody's busy. You know, ever had a lunch with somebody? It was a wonderful connection, Susie, and then you go away and you go, well, hey, I'll see you when I see you. Guess what that means? We're all busy. It never happens. You got to say, I just tell them to make a pitch. After about three lunches, you say, you know, I want 3, 4, 5, 7, 8 people in my life. I'm getting intentional about my personal growth. I'm really trying to get serious about it. And I understand I need the right people and I need a structure. So could we meet every couple of weeks for lunch or maybe phone call or Skype or text? I just need sort of a regularity of our connection. We can just talk about life and support each other. And that will really help. I think to be on a life team, a person really sort of has to have contact with you once a month, just sort of like the dosage levels in your medicine. If you only take your antibiotics like every once a year, you're not going to solve your infection, right? So once a month, and it can be people around the world, a kind text or a good video or a Skype or a lunch where you're transferring those nutrients back and forth. You have amazing the energy you'll get, the mood changes you'll get, and the focus you'll get.
Wow. Can you think of a time one of your life team members said something to you that you didn't see coming, but that was a major revelation for you just in your forward moving progress?
Absolutely. You and I are both kind of like, we probably move a bit fast, right? And our engine runs a little in the red every now and then, right, Susie?
Yeah, of course.
And you know, it's not great, but we do it and all this. And so I'm kind of an enthusiastic person. I'll say, yeah, I like that project, or somebody will call, yeah, let's do that. Well, it drives my wife and my assistant crazy. I mean, I'm poor things. So, but then I got a condition called Bell's palsy 7 years ago.
Ooh.
And Bell's palsy is not—it's not going to kill you, but it's not fun because half of your face gets paralyzed. You look like Two-Face on Batman. Mm-hmm. And for like 3 months, I had this facial condition. It comes from like the chickenpox vaccine, but it comes under stress. And one of my life team members—I was talking to her about it, and she's a very close friend of my wife's. And she said, "I need to talk to you." I said, "Yeah, what's about?" She goes, "Well, you remember in Exodus when Pharaoh got those 10?" Those 10 plagues? And I said, yeah. She said, do you want a second one? I said, what are you saying? She goes, you're not really being accountable and you do too much and you're so enthusiastic and you're burning out. And what if God gives you something after Bell's palsy? I said, I do not want that. She goes, you need to get an advisory board. And I said, no, that sounds like really too constricting. She goes, you need an advisory board because you're a bit out of control. You're so enthusiastic. And I said, no, I don't think it's a good idea. She goes, so do you want like frogs in the water now, or do you want like
I love her.
Yeah, do you want gnats in your face? And I went, no. She goes, and so I said, yeah, you're right. And I went and got a wonderful board that had been advising me for all these years, and they changed everything, made me much more organized and strategic. But man, she got in my face. And Elaine, if you're out there listening, thank you.
That's amazing. This one is way more vulnerable even than that. I'm about to one-up you. But when I was a young wife and mom, I just got shredded, which so often happens in your young 20s with other women. There's a few of them that just turned against me and started to gossip. And a couple of them came back later and said, we just love to hate you. And we just kind of got into this kind of, it was the dainty morsel thing of picking me apart, but it devastated me.
Were they being funny?
No, they were cruel. They literally just turned into gossip monsters. Oh my goodness, was it ever. And I want so much to please God. So I was open to anybody and everybody's criticism because I just didn't want there to be anything that you could accuse in me. And I had a very godly girlfriend who's on my life team. And she came to me, this was 20 years ago, and she said, "Susie, there's a guard down in your spirit," she says, "that basically gives anybody and everybody permission to say whatever they want to you." She goes, "I'm a God-fearing woman, but I'm in the flesh sometimes, and I'm even tempted to walk all over you because there's this opening, there's a sense that people can be as mean to you mm-hmm. as they want and get away with mm-hmm. it." And mm-hmm. she says, "You got to shut that door." And it was like, mm-hmm. I did not realize it, but I knew who I was in the Lord, but apparently I didn't. But I shut that door. And I felt wind come back into my sails and confidence rise up in my soul. But I had a misguided humility or whatever, you know, you just tell me yes. what you think I'm worth because I want to grow. But not everybody gets to do that. And for her to have the courage to say, "Even I'm tempted to walk all over you and I love you," she said, "There's something in you. You've got to shut that door." And it was just a game changer for me.
Man, you talk about you had a lot of cruelty and then you got some tough love from somebody that was safe. And she probably saved a lot of part of your career. That's amazing.
Yeah, I thought so.
Thank you for
too.
Friends like that.
Indeed, indeed. When we come back, we're going to pause for our last break. I want to explore those four character capacities that you write about in the book: bonding, mm-hmm. boundaries, reality, and capability. This is such good stuff, you guys. Every page of this book, to me, is like a handbook to help equip you in relationships. Talking to Dr. John Townsend in his book, People Fuel, fill your tank with life, love, and leadership. And if we get time, I want you to talk about people gainers and people drainers. That's such a great one. We touched on that last time. 877-933-2484 or email middays@myfaithradio.com if you want in on the drawing. More with Dr. John Townsend in a moment. Love that song. Thanks for tuning in to Middays. I'm Susie Larson talking to Dr. John Townsend today about his amazing book, People Fuel, Fill Your Tank for Life, Love, and Leadership. We've got four copies. It's a hardcover, amazing book. Dr. Townsend has sold 10 million copies of his books. Amazing. You can get in on the drawing this way. You can text 877-933-2484 or email middays@myfaithradio.com. So, Doc, let's talk this. Let's talk about those four character capacities that you talk about in the book: bonding, boundaries, reality, and capability. Start with bonding.
Yeah, sure. The capacities really are about what the abilities or competencies we need to pull off life. And the way I define character, Susie, is it's those abilities needed to meet the demands of reality. We all have demands on us. They're not bad. They're just demands: financial and familial and parenting and grandparenting and friendship and work and all that. So you've got to have certain competencies or skills to pull off life. The first one, bonding, has to do with being able to make close relationships, and it has three parts to it. The first is to be able to need relationships like you and I have been talking about, not just on a functional level, but actually feel a need for other people's presence. But also, it involves having to be vulnerable and to be open up and talk, as you and I talked, about things that we struggle at and take risks with people, with the right people, not the wrong people. And the third one is to develop empathy for others. When you can need people, be vulnerable, and have empathy for others, you're a bonded person.
Wow. Okay. Boundaries.
You ever heard that word before?
I was going to say, somehow I'm connecting it with you.
Yeah. Right. And boundaries are the ability, there's another three capacities or skills there. One is the ability to define oneself, to say, this is who I am, this is who I'm not. I loved how you were saying, I knew who I am with Christ, but I wasn't sure how I was in relationships. That's a perfect area of boundaries where I have to say, this is who I, you know, I'm an extrovert or I'm an introvert. I like Asian food or I like Mexican food. I like this kind of music or that kind of music. That's just defining yourself. The second part of boundaries is also to be able to say no when you need to say no in respectful ways. I don't have time for that. It's not a good idea. I can't do that right now. That doesn't work for me. Saying no is a very big part of boundaries. God says no all the time to us. The third one is the ability to confront others in good ways, to say, I've got an issue with us. Either at work, you know, I have a performance issue with you, or I've got a cultural issue, or in life where you have to say to your spouse or your child, I've got a problem here, I need to work this out with you. So the ability to define and say no and confront in great ways means you've got good boundaries.
All right. The third character capacity is reality. What is and what exists, both positive and negative. Say more about that.
Yeah, reality is not perfect. Reality is, you know, has a positive and negative. So there are four things that you've got to learn to deal with reality well. One is to be able to embrace the negative and not freak out and say, oh my gosh, it's all falling apart. You know, there's negative things in life and in families and work. The second one is to be able to adapt to a reality and also to grieve well. Grieving is a skill that we need. Healthy grieving, the science is telling us this. If you talked about stuffing in your book, if we stuff things, they don't do well. Grieving is a great part of that. The third thing is to deal with the judge in our heads. We all have this mean, perfectionistic judge who kind of beats us up and says, well, you're a loser, you'll never make it. We got to deal with that and modify it so it's nice to us. And the fourth one is to curb our entitlement. You know, my book before this one was called Entitlement Cure. You and I talked about it. And how do we cure our entitlement so we don't feel like it's all about us? If you're good on those four skills, you've got great dealings with reality.
Before we move to capability, I want you to speak to the idea of getting rid of the inner judge, the inner critic, because I hear that for a lot from listeners going, I don't know how to get there. I want so much to be free from that merciless voice in my head.
A lot of good research about it, but there's two things I always tell people when I'm working with a team or an organization. Number one, you really do need to tell yourself the truth, and that's a very helpful. We found out the neuroscientist backs up what the Bible says. Whatever it's saying, you know, you're letting everybody down, it's all over, you're disqualified. You got to tell yourself the truth, which means, what do I know that's true about me? And also, what does the Bible say about me? Those really help. But you can't just tell yourself the truth alone. It's never just alone. The second part is, you've got to get with somebody who gets you, and they've got to tell you the truth too. It's not only saying to myself in my head the truth, I've got to hear it in a conversation where somebody says, I know you're beating yourself up right now. We lost $50,000 on that account that went away, and I know that was partly your responsibility. And I'm looking at you. I believe in you. I think you're going to make it. I'm your friend. I'm not mad at you. And that transforms everything. We found that's so powerful, Susie, because the cool thing about neuroscience is that the software changes the hardware. We finally found out that you can actually change the brain wiring by the right conversations. It's like on your smartphone, the app can change the operating system. That's how powerful those conversations are.
And that is a piece that's so often missing if we isolate in failure. And to imagine if we could see our brains, the synapses firing when somebody is speaking life to us, when our inner critic wants to speak death, how critical it is. I mean, just God has wired us for community, hasn't he?
He has. There's no option.
Beautiful. Wow. Okay, so the fourth one, capability.
Capability has to do with kind of like getting out there and making a difference that you were designed to be. There are really great skills in that one. One is to be functioning like an adult, relating like an adult. So if you are with somebody who's like a strong person, if you feel insecure, like, hey, is it okay to like sharpen my pencil right now? You're functioning like a child to a parent. You don't want to be that. You want to be a respectful adult. Adults kind of go, yeah, God made me like he made you. We got different gifts. We're equal adults. Second thing is that they know why they're on the planet. Why does God have me? Or what's my purpose? It takes time to figure out your purpose. You don't just kind of like, you know, wonder about it. You have to be intentional. And what are your gifts? What are you good at that God's going to develop? And then fourthly, what's your work ethic? We all need to be able to roll up our sleeves and do things that are hard, persevere over and over again. Life is not just about passion. We got to have passion. But we've got to have perseverance too. That's what creates capability.
So good. So guys, we've been talking about these four character capacities: bonding, boundaries, reality, capability. He just gave synapses, but he, a synapse. Sorry, I'm thinking of nerves. He just gave synopses of these, but you'll find more of them in the book. So I really want you to get in the drawing if you want to. 877-933-2484. We talked a bit last time, and I want you to expound, if you would, about the idea, because listeners responded to it, relationship gainers and drainers.
Yeah, you know, yeah, we did talk about this. There's some people, after you have lunch with them, you go, I could take the hill. I can, you know, I can make it. I can be a big success. I have so much energy. And there's some people you come away from lunch and you go, oh my goodness, I need a nap. Well, one was a gain and one was a drain. And, you know, goodness gracious, we're always going to have, we can also be draining people. So I get it. But when you're around chronic drains, that all they kind of want to do is complain and not change, you got to look at the fact that most people have too many of those that they're spending too much time with, and they're not, nothing's happening because a person really isn't about change. So be aware that we'll always have drains, but who are the people in your life that are giving you life? It's not about being selfish. It's about being a good steward of your life. And I'm telling you, those people will say, I love talking to you. You always help me. You always listen to me. You always encourage me. Thank you that I can return the favor.
Boy, good. All right. This listener texted in, said, my husband's been diagnosed with executive dysfunction. Can you talk about that? Have you heard of that?
I have. It has to do with a couple of things. One is the tendency to work too much, obviously, and the workaholism takes over. And it tends to be correlated with a lack of connection, like we talked about. They tend to be have a hard time opening up and being vulnerable. So they're basically running on their willpower and their talent and not on their tank of relationship. And so it can be – and it ends up with things like depression sometimes, relationship problems, and energy problems. And a lot – I don't know what the treatment center told them. But we're finding out if you can get them a good counselor with a person who understands high-performing people who run in the red and help them to open up about their real fears and struggles inside, things change dramatically.
And friend, you need a copy of this book. I think this would go hand-in-hand with counseling, this people feel, because this feels like it's exactly for someone like that, isn't it? Just helping them open up that part of their world, you know?
Yep.
I've heard stories of leaders who've been threatened, their jobs have been threatened because of this very thing. But when they humbled themselves, submitted themselves to counseling, and God really did heal their soul, not only did they come back as much better leaders, but they became sustainable leaders. But I feel like the common denominator in those cases was, you know, a humility and a teachability, willing to go to the mat with some of these things.
Well, you know what the feedback is when they get their EQ 360s, it says, you're just as smart and strategic as you ever were. Man, you are. It's great to watch you be so smart and strategic, but now we feel access to you at the same time. There's a person there. It's a wonderful combination. It's a win-win.
Wow. Well, you write a little bit about hope. We've got probably 2 minutes left of the show. Say a word, if you would, what you've learned about hope and even the neurology around the importance of hope.
Yeah, again, the Bible's true. You know, hope deferred makes the heart sick. We really get sick emotionally and relationally when we don't have hope, because life can be tough. And if we don't see a promise of the future getting better, we tend to get discouraged or give up or disconnect. So I talk in the book about the function of hope being a realistic hope. In other words, when we get hope from somebody, we want somebody to tell us something that's realistic, like, I think you're going to make it. And I think if you keep plugging away, good things are going to happen. And keep calling me and I'll support you. Unrealistic hope is saying, you know, you weigh 130 pounds and you're going to be playing for the NFL tomorrow. No, that's not helpful hope. It's got to be reality-based hope. But people get supercharged when somebody gives them reality-based hope and says, I'll walk with you through it. It makes all the difference.
Is that what you call the second, the one about unrealistic hope, that cognitive dissonance where you know in your soul that's not true, so it's actually not helpful to your soul even though someone's telling you what they want to hear?
Yeah, you appreciate what they're saying, but there's another part of you saying, you know, I know that's not me, and I know, I mean, you're telling me that I could, you know, I don't know, I could run.
American Idol.
and then so you think to yourself, now I've got a conflict inside because I got this nice person that's trying to encourage me, and I want to make sure that I appreciate that. But it didn't really feed me anywhere because there's nowhere to go with it. It's sort of like lost data.
Well, Dr. Townsend, I know you're such a busy man, and yet you give us time, and we so appreciate it. I do pray God will redeem the time back for you. Thank you, and I pray you'll come back again someday.
Anytime, Susie. Can I tell folks about my website for 2 seconds?
Real quick, yes.
drtownsend.com, the Townsend Institute. You can get a master's in counseling or leadership, and also a Townsend Leadership Program. You can be a great leader.
Oh, fantastic. And replay that if you missed it. Thanks so much, dear listener, for tuning in, and we will meet you back here next time. Have a blessed day. Thanks for listening to this Middays with Susie Larson podcast. These conversations are available because of listener support. You can make a gift now at myfaithradio.com. To avoid missing future editions of the show, subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of Middays with Susie Larson.